Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. When it comes to getting that dream job, if they say if you're not lying, then you're not trying. But what resume lies are just putting the best face forward on a complicated job career, on a job history, and which ones go too far? And with everything online these days, is it easier to catch a fake, or does all that internet actually make it easier to fake those credentials? We're going to take a close look at your resume and what would we find. Are we going to see some fudging, some white lies there? We invite you into our conversation. When is it okay to lie on a resume? How far can you go? The number is 210-614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. We're joined this half hour by Robert Carter. Bob Cardy, he's the professor and the chair of management at UTSA. Bob, welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much, David. Happy to be here.
So if you look at resumes, what's the percentage of lies?
Oh, there is some research out there, and the estimates that about a third of those resumes have erroneous information. And that can vary, right? The erroneous information can be, you know, some things that might be small potatoes for some people, or it could be outright fabrications of degrees, for example, or years of work experience, that sort of thing. But the general estimate is around 30% of them have misrepresentations or falsehoods.
I would have thought the number would have been higher.
Yeah, well, the research varies, right? But a lot of that is self-report. And so there's some portion of those people who aren't admitting that.
When people lie on a resume, what typically is the thing that they lie about?
Oh, I haven't actually seen any good survey work on that, but I think that there's a lot of people who fudge things having to do with, how well they performed on a job or how responsible they were for certain outcomes, and that kind of thing is really kind of hard to really check on.
You're right. Seems like there are people they can lie on things that are easily followed up on, like their academics, like, you know, did they get that degree? Where did they go to school?
Right.
And what level did they graduate from? You know, and also the previous job experience and the dates for those jobs. But then you can also sort of make up things like what your responsibilities were at that job, and did you bring that project in under budget like you said you did?
Right. So, and we might kind of think of that as spin, maybe, or embellishment. You know, we might embellish. And I think overall, at least looking at it from the employer perspective for a minute, I think employers have come to expect that maybe you get embellishment in the interview, that people try to put their best foot forward and try and spin a bit, and that's expected. I think it's different for the information that you might put on your resume, and in particular for information that is put on a job application form. You, as the employer, assume that that's accurate. You know, if somebody says, yes, I graduated with a degree in management or in accounting or whatever, you assume that they're being truthful in that.
Right. So today's highly competitive marketplace, and resumes have to provide two functions. First of all, you got to get through the door. And we have, we're in a system today where all sorts of computers are like sifting through resumes even before a human actually looks at them.
Right.
And so that's part of the deal, is trying to create a resume that will get past the computer.
Right, that's right. And so you've hit on a topic here that I think kind of resonates through this a bit, and that is that, you know, you're trying to get through the door, but you're assuming, the applicant, I think, is often assuming, if I can just get through the door, if I can just get the interview, and then if I can just get the job, I can do it, whether I have the qualifications or not. And that may not be true. And that's why this, again, from the employer perspective, why it can be troubling, because they have come up with job qualifications for a reason, and they're needed to do the job well. And so, yeah, you desperately want to get the chance to get that job offer, but at the same time, those qualifications may be truly needed. But I do think there are people out there that think, if I can just get through the door, I could do the job, you know, regardless of the qualifications.
Well, yeah, so that's a whole other issue. If you're going to lie about a degree and about awards and what your responsibilities were, and then you get the job, they put you at the desk, and they say, I need you to look at this and give me a risk assessment analysis on, and you turn in, you know, a hot mess, you know, are you going to keep that job?
No, probably not. And now you may have put the employer at risk. It may have been very shoddy work. It may be that the employer's possibly looking at a lawsuit for negligence because they hired that person and they did not catch that there was this, you know, falsification. And you've got other people that are probably relying on that person, team members, if you will, and that person may not be able to, you know, pull their weight because they don't have those qualifications.
Right. So when it comes to running a business and keeping that business on track and you know, out of trouble, hiring seems to be the critical factor. That's the X factor. You want to hire the best people, yeah. Recruit the best people, and make sure that you get rid of the ones that don't measure up. And so this is really it's the life and death for a company, a hiring.
Yeah, especially, by the way, I think it's accentuated with the smaller the company is, because you know you don't catch something like this and a person's not really qualified. You don't want that to happen regardless of the size of your organization. But if you're a very small organization, it could bring you down. A large organization could absorb maybe somebody who does some shoddy work, unfortunately, but they might be able to do that. Whereas a small organization, it could be just a handful of people, and you need everybody, you know, being able to pull their weight.
Does this mean that people who don't look good on paper, I mean, maybe you don't have a degree, but you are pretty smart, and you can get things done, and you're creative, inventive. Are these people just not going to be able to find a place in the world?
Gee, that's a tough question. So I don't think so. I think it behooves the employers to do their side of it as well as they possibly can, and that is come up with job qualifications that are really related to performance on the job. So you can say, for example, we want somebody with 2 years work experience. We want somebody with a 4-year degree in a certain area. The question that I'd pose to those employers is, did you really do your homework? Did you really look and see whether that's necessary? Are those needed credentials? Did you really look at information that showed that those people who had those characteristics were better performers on the job? And if not, if they were pushed legally, they couldn't defend the use of those qualifications.
Right, but we have such a competitive marketplace,
yeah.
And you get a sea of a tsunami of resumes that come in when you do a job posting, and you say, well, I'm just going to raise these qualifications in order to sift people out, whether or not, and then maybe they're just arbitrary in order to set the bar high to get rid of some people that you don't want to mess with.
Yeah, and maybe that's helping to set up this situation where people just feel like, just to be competitive, I have to ratchet it up a bit, and I'm gonna, you know, maybe they look at it as embellishment, but they're really misrepresenting themselves.
Right, and so when you do that, you lie on your resume, are you actually committing fraud?
I would say yes. I would go back to the example of, I think it's somewhat expected that you embellish.
I mean, your company is hiring you, they're investing in you,
yeah.
They probably put you through some training, and
right.
You've absorbed some of the resources, all because you lied to get a job. Could that be a crime?
Yes, I think it could be. However, I think what more likely would happen is if there was a very negative outcome from that hire, the employer's going to get sued for negligent hiring.
Right, if they hurt a client in the process.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to keep talking about this issue. We invite you into our conversation. Have you been a manager? Did you get some outlandish resumes that fell onto your desk and you had to say, this guy is lying? What happened next? Or maybe you've got some white lies on your resume. Tell us how you justify that. We want to hear from you. This is The Source on KSTX, and we're going to be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about your resume. Is it as pure as the untrodden snow, or is it got some blemishes on there, some lies, maybe you fudge some dates, maybe you tried to embellish some of your accomplishments on your resume. Did that help you get the big job? Did it make that much of a difference? Have you seen some resumes that were just incredibly tall tales? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. With me in the studio is Bob Carty, professor and the chair of management at UTSA. And let's get John on the line. He's called in. John, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks for having me on. I'm lucky enough to be in a position where I've had a pretty good 20-year career. I've got a good GPA that I don't lie about, and my degrees and all that. And it frustrates me because I'm trying to make that move more towards the management side of my industry. And it frustrates me that I'm being honest. And I know that there's people who are not being honest who get their resumes through the door before me. So I was wondering, what are some tips where you can make your resume read honestly and still get through the door, but still get ahead of those people that are maybe rounding the numbers up a little bit?
All right. Honest John, thanks for calling in. We appreciate
thanks,
that.
Thanks, John.
Great question. And so, Bob.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's an easy pat answer to that, but I would actually shift the attention away from the resume and more towards what I think often makes the difference, and that is work your network. Get with people who know you, who know your values, who know that you follow through, for example, and have them get the word out, have them give you great references, and work that side of it. It's the network and often the people you know that can get you in the door.
Is that because people, there are lots of things you can't ask people during the job process. And you can't ask somebody, well, Dave, are you a rageaholic? You know, do you fly off the handle? And, you know, no. But if you have somebody that is kind of in your network of friends and someone who can vouch for you
right.
and say, hey, he's a really cool guy. He really knows how to step up when we need somebody. Or they can tell you, you know, the guy's got some hygiene issues. You really don't want to bring him into the office.
Right.
You know, is that what that's all about?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, and I think you can stand out in that way because those people who are fabricating the things on the resume probably aren't going to have a network of people that are going to stand up for them, say, hey, they're a really solid person. Whereas, like John, for example, may have a number of people like that that he's worked with over the years. And that's part of your network that you really should make use of.
Okay. Another caller, Rick, is on the line. Rick, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I used to be in the film business, and film people generally just have a list of the films that they worked on. And a friend of mine was telling us one day that he'd been in the business 20 years, and nobody had noticed that he had Gone with the Wind on his resume. And it had been, and of course, the film was filmed before he was ever even born. But we always got a big kick out of that.
And it was like Clark Gable. What was this guy's name?
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right.
But
well, just want to pass it on.
That's a great point, Rick. Thanks for bringing that
Thanks.
Up. So there is the responsibility of looking at these resumes.
Yeah, that's
sifting
right.
Sifting out the stinkers.
Yeah, that's right. And boy, the reality is for a lot of organizations, there can be a small avalanche of job applications and resumes to sift through. So it behooves them, though, particularly if they're going to be serious about interviewing somebody, for example, to scrutinize that. And most companies now use a background check system of some sort, and hopefully that catches things, but it doesn't always.
Another caller with sure. Kenny. And Kenny, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks. So, no, what I was telling the screener earlier is that given the way that the job market is changing so exponentially, everyone needs to kind of embellish or update their resumes to reflect the skills that are being asked for, because the skills that are, for example, going to be asked for 5 years from now, we don't have our resumes today. So, and I work in innovation, so I'm constantly thinking about this. So you don't need to lie, but you need to think about what were those skills that, you know, transferred from the job that you did to something else. And another way that I've been in both positions where I've been an applicant and I've been a manager hiring folks. So, for example, when I'm looking for a web developer or web designer, one of the things I'll do is if I find really good resumes, I also ask to look at their portfolio, but I'll also issue them a design challenge so that when they come into the interview, if they have not been able to design or develop what I need, then you're automatically out of there. So it does give it a little more of a level playing field, but everybody embellishes. And just one last note, for example, I was a theater major in my undergrad. I work in IT now. So I don't put that on my resume. I put communication.
Okay. Right. Well, one thing about IT people, Kenny, is that they say they lack like intersocial skills. And having been in theater kind of speaks to that you have the IT skills, but also you work well with others.
Exactly. But some hiring managers in the past have looked at that as, okay, then he doesn't really have the technical skills that I need because he's a good relationship manager, which I am. I pride myself on that, but I do have the technical skills. So when you look at something like communications, you think, okay, I'm more willing or more apt to give that person an opportunity than somebody who, you know, was a musical theater major.
Okay, so you say that everyone lies and you accept that, and sometimes you're doing the hiring. So what lies would you be willing to overlook, and doesn't that speak to integrity issues?
No, I don't. I lying is maybe too harsh of a word. I think I like augmenting or embellishing. And I think what I would be willing to accept is maybe if they had embellished the role that they played a bit. Because again, they might have had one role on a team, for example, but their responsibility was something different. So if you're capturing the role versus their actual responsibility, you need a way to bridge that.
Okay.
Because there is going to be a disconnect sometimes.
All right, Kenny, thanks for calling in. Appreciate that. Good luck.
Take care.
So, Bob, you talked about how there's companies that are hiring companies to screen out and look for these lying resumes. But then on the other side of that, there are companies, there are like websites that provide fake credentials that could outfox those people.
Right. And those websites, those technical aids, if you will, go way beyond what Kenny is talking about in terms of like what I might say is reframing or embellishing maybe.
They're inventing entire new histories.
Yes, right. So some of these websites that are out there will actually provide not only a false job reference for you, for example, but they'll provide somebody there to answer the phone. They'll call forward it to a friend of yours if you want to arrange that. So it would appear to the employer trying to verify this, say, claim of previous employment that, yes, indeed, they're talking to this person's former boss, and it's actually his best friend, and they're both at the bar taking the call. So it's quite an inventive but troubling website service.
Right, and they also will build websites to make it look like they invent a company.
Exactly.
And then they'll create a website for that fake company. But isn't there like, aren't there laws that when they call like a previous employer of mine, all they can actually say is, yes, he worked here from this date to that date, but they can't give any other information?
No, there are some differences across states, and I'm not a labor lawyer.
Okay.
Or an employment lawyer. But I would say that's
probably. But isn't that the practice, though?
That's the common practice. It really is a common practice because a lot of organizations don't, or employers don't want to get sued for saying something that they shouldn't have. So rather than say anything at all, they say nothing. And that's a safer route, I think, sometimes legally.
And that creates the opportunity to redefine who you were at that company. You were the head busboy in charge, but actually you're saying that you were the night manager.
Right. Right, exactly. Right. And so employers out there, I mean, you want all the information you can get, but yet at the same time, you tend to be reluctant to provide that information. I would say generally, and again, I'm not a lawyer on this, is most lawyers, I think, would say, as long as you are being focused on job performance and accurate in reporting actual incidents, that's fine. If you get into conclusions about a person, like, well, they're a jerk, for example, you might be right, but that that's something that you could get in trouble for.
Okay, so you conducted a study and you saw what managers are willing to tolerate?
Well, I would cast a little bit different. We simply looked at if there's falsification in the job application, how was it handled? And so the general, I'd say, major finding from the study isn't probably a surprise, and that is people who falsified on what are commonly called hard qualifications were evaluated much more negatively than people who falsified just on soft qualifications. Now, hard qualifications tend to be more objective things and very task-related, if you will, more closely associated with the job itself. So things like the degree that you got, for example, that credential, years of work experience, those are more hard qualifications. Soft qualifications might be interpersonal skills of some type, you know, how creative and innovative you are, for example. And so what we looked at was people who we fabricated, job applicants, and we said, oh, here, evaluate these, you know, and how likely would you move them on to the next stage, that is, recommend them for a job interview. And if they falsified on hard qualifications, they were evaluated much more negatively, less likely to get that job interview. However,
yeah,
there's one, I think, interesting twist that maybe isn't quite so self-evident, and that is we also looked at how likable these fictitious applicants were. And so what we found was that liking made a difference, too.
Being likable, having a rapport with the person who's interviewing you.
Right. Yeah. For example. Right. And so if you are, for example, likable, but you falsified on hard qualifications, then you were evaluated actually more positively than someone who falsified only on soft qualifications but was dislikable.
Okay, so smile a lot, shake that hand, nice firm handshake.
Right.
Tell them how great, you know, flattery always is a nice tactic.
Yes, it is. And in our little study, I mean, it wasn't so little.
Well, Bob, we're out of time, but thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. And you can put it on your resume that you were here on The Source.
Enjoyed being here.
And you were awesome.
Thank you
so much for that. Robert Cardy, Professor and Chair of Management at UTSA. This is The Source on KSTX.